and she blocked the story from her memory until two people reminded her of it. She made it angry.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want inside. take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
Tell me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I'm your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend and you did what you were supposed to do. You things you got to get done, you did it, and you did it safely. And of course, you did it and regardless of what the weather was like. Because we all know it was hot. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there'll be programs that are dated and titled. Promising we're going to update them before this week is out. No doubt about it. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program, once again, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. The next program that's live will be Thursday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Thursday. The Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move. The Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club on Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. On Fridays at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And, of course, you can use a shortcut to get to the programs that Brother Kwaku has put together. And that is whatever search engine you use, whatever search engine, put in the search babaoshi.net, BABAOSHI.net. And once again, there'll be programs that are dated and titled. I'm not going to go into announcements, and I'm going to go right to my guest. It's not my guest. It's my co-host, Brother Irv. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Baba Oshi. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, my brother. You sound great.
Yeah, it's good to hear you. It's good to hear your voice, man. You sound good. You sound like you slept well.
Yeah.
And that you're and that God has blessed you with another day of your right mind, because that's very important, Baba Oshi.
Yeah.
There's so much that my mind is processing right now with the things that are going on around me. And the things that I want to happen. I know I get deep real quick, but the reality is I know what I want things to be, but then I watch how things are happening in this world,
mm-hmm,
and not
mm-hmm.
necessarily just because of the television.
Right.
Just what Google is showing me. I look at what they don't say. I look at how we have to understand that someone is driving this train that we're on, Baba Oshi,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
they're taking us where they want us to go. If they want us to look at tennis, or basketball, that's what we look at.
Yeah.
That's what they give us.
Yeah.
But the reality is we have to stay firm, stay straight and narrow on what we're trying to do so far as our liberation, our sovereignty, and our self-determination. We have to stay on that course, because once we're on that course, why does no one ever go down that road?
Right.
In the media?
Exactly.
You know, they all
exactly.
You say nationalist. What you mean, that you can't be a nationalist? You are African American. No, brother, I'm African, man. You don't need no sophistic. I'm an African. Mm-hmm. I love Africa. It's in me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do that, you're separating. Well, why is it that when we, as American Africans, do it, we're separating, but when everyone else does it, it's just enriching our culture, huh?
Mm.
Well, I just made that up. That sounded good though. But my thing is, why is it when they do it, it's a beautiful thing. But when we do it, we're just being separate. We're separating. Why can't y'all just? Why can't we all just get along?
Not here. Not here, I tell you.
I love it, man.
Yep.
So we
gonna have a good program, me and you're gonna chop it up.
Whatever it is that we
want to talk about, and whatever the listening audience wants to talk about, you know.
For sure.
So there's a lot to talk about, believe me, especially after this weekend. You know.
My God.
Yeah.
My God. Oh,
this weekend,
was it a weekend or was it a weekend?
Donald,
I'm just saying,
the weekend
for
Donald
American
Trump.
African, it's a lot to process.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand, it's bigger than what you saw. Because if this is happening out in the open, what's happening behind the scenes, by
mm-hmm.
Oshie?
Mm-hmm.
What's going? They scrambling? What's going on? Is this orchestrated? Are we just going freestyle?
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because you always think that it's a man behind the curtain,
right?
When it comes to Arugu, because Arugu doesn't change his playbook. Arugu's doing the same colonialism, neocolonialism that Arugu's been doing forever.
Yeah,
because he can't. And you said it, Baba Osha. You said that in order for these Arugu to live like they're living, Africa has to stay poor,
right?
And it's wrong.
Right.
And that bothered me, man. I mean, that when you played that Nichols piece, that vibrated in me, man.
Yeah.
Because I've heard this before, but when you hear them say it, it strikes you as, are you serious? Is this how you really think that we should mm-hmm. stay poor? And mm-hmm. they do, Baba Oshi.
Yeah.
Because they and you say everything, they want everything, don't want to pay for it, can't live without it. But we as American Africans are resilient people. We
mm-hmm.
We aren't going away. We're not, most of us are so conditioned, we just will not leave. And then the rest of us, we're not going to stop fighting.
Right.
We're never going to stop fighting.
That's right.
So if you can kill me, and like you said, we don't die, we multiply.
Mm-hmm.
We're going, and we are fighting. People just have to fight the way they know how to fight, Baba Oshie. Everybody just can't. Because they got things to lose. They got a family mm-hmm. to raise. They got mm-hmm. bills to pay. I get that. You know, you can't run
yeah.
to somebody else's job and holler black power every day. You're going to get black power or you're going to get fired.
You get beat down.
You know? Come on now. That's correct.
Yeah,
we, as American Africans, we have to put in the minds of our children and our offspring for them to start a business.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you see, you can do. NFL is not something that can't be done. Hollywood was started with a dream and a vision. You can do that,
sure,
too.
Sure.
Oh, please, right. please give me a job. Please help me. Well, you can get a job, but I'm going to need you not to talk about this subject and that subject and that stuff. Okay. When you're in someone else's house, my boss, you're not coming to my house and doing what you want to do. This is my house, bro. You do that over at your house
where
you live.
That's right.
And stop saying it's mine. Stop saying this is your land. This is my land. This land was made for, was stolen for you and me. I don't think that's the words. But it's
stop with
the brainwashing of the kids. You know, you all got inalienable rights. You got rights. Who are you to give me rights? Who are you to give a country to somebody? We're going to give this country to y'all because No, y'all want it. Y'all want your own country, so we're going to give y'all Palestine. Well, who gave Palestine to you? The U.N. Well, who's the U.N.? And we keep, and if you keep going back, you keep going back, you start to realize it's just a bunch of folk that just did whatever they felt like doing. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, you know, the U.N. is basically the European nations, the Caucasians, the European, the Urugu, because they have veto power. It's not a collection of all the world's nations, and everybody has a equal voice in what's happening. You know, it's basically the UN is dictated by European nations. It's dictated by Caucasians. And so the UN says that this country that these Palestinian people have been occupying and living in for thousands of years is no longer theirs. These European Jews who really have no connection to the land that they are going to get, you know, whether you're a Jew because somebody presented it to you and you accepted it, it's just like you're a Christian. I presented it to you, you accepted, now you're a Christian, you know? And it's not a nationality. It's a faith. It's a religion. It's a train of thought. You know, but the European Jews, they took that shit to a whole nother level, you know, and their thing is about ownership. Their thing is about control. Their thing is about manipulation. They control. And at this time, and I know maybe it's a good time to say this, brother Ayo Kamathi has a new book out. You know, the Jews are the problem too. And I can't wait to contact him, see if we can get a chance to talk about that, man, because that's going to be serious. Yeah.
The brother Kamathi is fearless.
Yeah.
He's one of these brothers, man, that sees what he sees and says what he says and come what may.
Yeah.
Because a white man went after the Jews and they shot him in the head in the daytime, and he was president of the United States.
Yeah.
So these people aren't playing. This ain't a game. If you're not ready to lay down your life for what you believe, and not necessarily that you have to do that.
Right.
But this is that serious.
Yeah.
When your God is money, when your God is domination and power and exploitation, because it's about exploiting people. The whole system of capitalism is an exploited system. Someone has to be exploited for the system to operate.
Yep.
Somebody has to be the worker, and somebody has to be the boss.
Yep.
And then somebody has to be the owner of the boss who tells the worker what to do. So the whole system is not a system of equal. It's not equal. Someone is always going to be walking, someone's going to be driving, and somebody else is going to be flying in their private jet. And that's how it's supposed to work. You have a thousand billionaires in this country.
Yeah.
Thousand people have over $1 billion.
That's crazy,
God,
so
man.
So the income disparity, the wealth gap is so huge that it can never, I mean, the people who have it would have to give away chunks of it to the poor for it to be ever to be equal. And as far as we're concerned as American Africans, it'll never happen here. But let me do this, because I got excited about you being here with me. I forgot to read the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I want to go through that and some other few, even though I'm not doing the general announcements, a few of them. And then also, too, I sent you a piece with Rachel Maddow talking about, you know, when you asking Biden to drop out the race, but here is a man, all this shit, and nobody's asked Trump to drop out of nothing.
No, he's a felon.
Yeah,
he's a felon.
He's a felon.
And
anybody
no one asked him to drop out.
You know,
no one.
So I know you have that particular piece. We may talk about that. We may talk about another piece I just got talking about the fact that this shooting of Trump could be staged, whereby he can gain sympathy and garner more votes and so forth. So we'll talk about that. The bottom line is, you know, this society and society that is ruled and in control of Urugu, they've always done it, and that's this history of through manipulation. and undermining and doublespeak and all kinds of stuff. They always try to find a way to capture your mind to make you think and, more importantly, behave. Because if I control your mind, you don't have to worry about your actions. Carter G.
That's
Woodson.
Right.
They'll make you behave the way they want you to behave. So let me go ahead and do this, and we'll get off into that piece in a minute. Okay, brother?
That's right. Do that.
All right. This is the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. We read this every morning after the announcements, if we do have them, and so forth. So this is July 14th. The unfortunate circumstances confronting the so-called Negro can be attributed to the fact that he is being used as a tool by a gang of Machiavellian schemers operating from the north, led by white people with a regular retaining of house Negroes fronting as leaders. These scoundrels have no program to offer the masses of African people, but hold up before the myopic focus of frustrated Negroes the degenerate mirage of miscegenation, social equality, and integration with white people. Carlos Cook, that's Brother Marcus's guy, Carlos Cook. Our warriors are the vanguard who advance as one toward the reclamation of African power. All that they do fits within an agenda, a mission, and a vision of African sovereignty. And not only do they dignify, and not only do they identify the treasonous among us and separate community power from them, they never forget or forgive them. For they know that they are the social children of traitors. So even if beaten to the point where survival demands that those turncoats find it expedient to pretend to join our ranks, warriors know that they will never, ever look for another opportunity to assist others in our destruction. They know the emptiness of their apologies and the disastrous consequences of forgiving and forgetting what they have done, as they know this for Urugu. The warrior's sight is clear and full of remembrance. They know that they are here to provide, through word and deed, the greatest inspiration that African people could behold of undaunted, unconfused, uncompromised direction. They are our warrior ancestors in every sense of the term. Ashe. Affirm, I operate within a program which empowers African people. Affirm, I operate within a program which empowers African people. July 15th. A promise is a man. He who does not keep his promise is not a man. African proverb. The Ugandans say that a promise is a debt. And this is in an African thought. So if you have declared yourself a warrior of the people, then by default, you have willingly incurred a debt to our front line. You have made the promise to remove any mental societal excuses which may dissuade you from being accountable to African people. And do everything in your power to liberate us from the spiritual, mental, and physical shackles of European domination. You have committed your life to the promise of Abibi Fahodiye, of full African liberation, empowerment, and sovereignty. Regardless of the difficulty or size, warriors do not break promises. And in assuming this debt and fulfilling this promise, warriors must ever keep their eyes on the African prize. They must pursue warriorhood diligently, commit to complementarity, build center communities, rear warriors in training, use their genius to do their fair share of the work, protect everyone and everything of worth, develop our libraries, anticipate affronts, listen to the wisdom of our elders, honor the legacy of our ancestors, secure frontline strongholds, fulfill the needs of those who lack visual and affirm sovereignty, exhibit exemplary character, destroy the menticide within, stand against all odds, share what helps African people, embrace no perversion, find a warrior's peace, implement sound security drills, study the methods of Yoruba's madness, actualize sound nation-building theories, engage spirit, and be our warrior ancestors. I say, affirm I keep my promises. Affirm I keep my promises. Brothers and sisters, the Inyasa Sim of daily revolutionary thought. Yes, sir. Also, too, that's Baba Barudi. And, of course, he has a number of things that are happening. He has a course, of course. It's every Wednesday starting in August 7th through the 28th in the evening from 7:30 to 9. And that is to make your donations of $60 and $35 for youth and teens via PayPal. If it's PayPal, it's yahbarudi@yahoo.com. If it's Cash App, it's $ Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Barudi, B-A-R-U-T-I. Include the pertinent information on Yahweh, your name, your email address, because that's it's being streamed. All right. Common Sense Security, that's going to be Saturday, September 14th from 4 to 7. And same thing applies in terms of it's going to be live streamed. So the same thing applies. Make your donations of $15 and $25 family. PayPal, Yahbarudi at Yahoo, Cash App, $ Yah M. Barudi. Include your pertinent information. Common Sense Security. Common Sense Security. Your name, your email address. They can send you the link. Kibuka. Remembering the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. The 19th annual Kibuka. And that's going to be Saturday, November 16th. Please mark that day from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Families, $35. Couples, $25. Adults, $15. Children, $5. For more information, you can contact Baba Barudi at 404-753-7237. 404-753-7237. And, of course, the same thing applies in putting information in Kibuka, your name, your email address, so you can receive the link. Kibuka. And upcoming this Saturday, August 3rd, Mama Yah, her sister circle with Inni Yah, and that's the quote, Embracing African Femininity is the topic. And it's $12 for adults and $6 for young folks. And the same thing, of course, is that through PayPal, you can send it to Yahbarudi at Yahoo or Cash App, $ Yah M. Barudi. And of course, the most important thing is send it to Femininity. Femininity. Your name and your email address. And then August 10th, Saturday, August 10th, Peerless, a statement in honor of African men. Peerless. That is Saturday, August 10th. 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And the registrations for the 19th Quarterly Men's Gathering is register, make your $12 donation to, and $6 for warriors in training to PayPal. That's Yahbrudy at Yahoo or Cash App, $YahMperudy. And, of course, put the pertinent information, which is Peerless, P-E-R-L-E-S-S, your name, and then your email address. Also, two brothers and sisters, if you're in the Atlanta area and you have things that you need done around the place and you don't know who to call and who can help you, well, the AfriCorps, Community Work, Community Youth Workforce, the AfriCorps, Community Youth Workforce, Community Youth Workforce, 404-981-7691. Free quotes, 404-981-7691. And they can do plumbing, electrical work, painting and drywall, light fixtures, door installation and repair, TV mounting, other electronics, smartphones, audiovisual installation, home window tinting, Wi-Fi router and configurations and self-installation, furniture assembly, whatever it is that you need, because I know some of our seniors definitely be needing some help. Give them a call. August 3rd, Baba Broody does have a program along the same day as Mama Ya. August 3rd, and that program is a warrior's character, the timeless mental, spiritual, and behavioral qualities of Africans, African warrior character. And that's Saturday, 5:30 p.m. Also, too, family, July, next week Saturday, or this Saturday coming up, Saturday the 20th, from 2 to 5, a healing event. African men and women release our pain and heal together. Baba Baruni and Mama Ya. That's going to be at the Ogun House, 4720 Brace Drive, Union City, Georgia. Couples $50, individuals $30. And make your donations. You can send them to PayPal. Once again, PayPal is Yahbrudy at Yahoo. Cash App is $Yah, the letter M, Baruti. Okay. There's Zelle available. Give them a call at 404-790-1878. 404-790-1878. Include the pertinent information, healing event, your name, and the sister friend or brother friend that you're going to be with. So they can heal together. Your email address where you can confirm our receipt of your donation. And of course, the day of the event. All right. This healing event is open to African men and women, 25 and older. It will allow the African men as a group and African men as a group to acknowledge the pain we have inflicted on and receive from each other, ask for forgiveness, release our pain, and commit to each other, men and women. Any drummers are asked to bring their drums. The healing ritual will be early in the program, so timely arrival is requested. There will be an African marketplace with healthy food, drinks, and other products, services beneficial to mental, physical, and emotional, and spiritual health. Once again, that's going to be in Union City. It's going to be at the House of Ogun, 4720 Bryce Drive, Union City, 302-191, Union City, Georgia. Okay, family. Yeah, wow. Didn't have an announcement, but I have went through a lot there. Get back to my brother. Brother Irv, still there, man?
Oh, please, brother. I'm not going anywhere. You went through a lot.
I sure did.
And it was very interesting, the things that you said, that you talked about, because believe it or not, Baba Oshie, a lot of brothers are looking to join organizations and be a part of something constructive to get us to our liberation. And the things that you talk about, everything is about bringing our people together. And the one theme of this show that you always talk about is we have to come together.
Yeah,
Africa has to unite.
Yes.
If we don't, we're just spinning our wheels. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep, you know, we're just spinning, going around in a circle. So all the things that you talked about bring people of like mind together, people of a nationalistic mindset,
yeah.
People who know they have a homeland, people who are not just don't believe that their history started when they were unpacked off of a slave ship.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, and some don't believe that, you know, you're you know, I'm 50% Cherokee and some.
Yeah, they, them Negroes, everything, anything but African.
Anything
yeah,
but African.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I got this good hair.
Yeah.
Really? No, that was a rape issue, bro. We yeah, talk about that later.
Yeah,
but
I'm,
it had nothing to do, nothing to do with love.
Sure,
when you
sure.
we're talking about something that our people mm-hmm. been saying for so long, Baba Oshie. I've heard this when I was a child. You know, about the good hair, bad hair, the
oh, yeah.
Cherokee, part Cherokee,
oh, yeah.
The definitely. Light skin. As long as you light, you're gonna be all right. I've heard this foolishness for so long, and never knew why it came out of the mm-hmm. mouths of the elders until mm-hmm. I met an elder who actually knew who they are, who they were, where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to explore for myself. And now I've gotten to the point where I just push aside all those assimilative thoughts, all those go along to get along thoughts. And mm-hmm. I've become more of a revolutionary,
right.
more of a fighter. I walk, and I usually will walk alone.
Mm-hmm.
Baba Oshie, right. It's not a crowd of people trying to fight for this sovereignty and self-determination. It's not a bunch of us running around, because it's a fight, but you don't even see the fight.
Yeah.
See, white folks fight out in the street. You know, we're going to put a tent up in front of the school, and we're going to stay here until you stop giving money to them. But you let some black people do that, and watch what happens. When the dogs come and the white folks come and tear
yeah,
your stuff down.
Yeah.
You arrogant Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
We let you in here, and look how you treating us. But white kids can do that because, you know, daddy owned that factory down the street.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my daddy never had one. But no, Baba Oshie, there's a lot to talk about.
Yes, it is. There's a lot to talk about, but there's one thing that mm-hmm. I know that me and you definitely have talked about a number of times, and this was just Brother Kwaku sent this to us, and this is a decent, real good piece. This is that's the piece with Trump. And, this is the piece I want to play right here.
Yeah, play it.
Yeah, this is the piece I want to play right here, where the brother. Mm-hmm. Come on now.
Mm.
Here we go. Come on now.
Take it there to get the kick of time we got.
This is what Pan-Africanism looks like. These three African countries just came together and made history. And I think it's time to talk about it. My name is Brother Legend, and I'm here to raise your consciousness. Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso just made history by forming their own confederation. This means that their governments have now declared sovereignty and have an alliance between each other. You have never seen anyone be more pro-black than this. We always talk about how we need to decolonize this and decolonize our minds. Well, these three countries were colonized by the French and have decided to kick the French out of their lands and create their own economy. Uranium, gold, and other resources that were stolen by France have now been put back into the hands of African people. Uranium in Niger alone provided 25% of electricity to Europe. Yet, less than 10% of their citizens have electricity. Those days are long gone. They told them colonizers they need to go back home. But the wildest part about this whole thing is that before the French got here, this was already a kingdom. In the 15th and 16th century, the Songhai Empire was one of Africa's largest and most powerful empires. Kicking out the colonizers and returning things back to their glory is a level of decolonization we should all hope to achieve. To the brothers and sisters of the Sahel region, your American African brothers and sisters are watching. We proud of y'all. One love.
I say. I know you've.
I say.
Yeah. You know, and you've mentioned this a few times on, you know, when you called in, or even as long as you mentioned this, and to me, this has to be protected. You know, if the Europeans are allowed, or if whatever they do to subvert this, and we know that it is going to be them, because these three countries have vowed that they are going to do what needs to be done as a model for the rest of Africa, of coming together and kicking the colonizers out and controlling your resources, you know. And so we need to support that. And if there is some kind of attack on them, or some kind of manipulation where they are they're going to once again recolonize them and take that back, we need to, as African people globally, condemn it, but more importantly, fight against it openly. We can't allow it to happen. You know, we can't allow it to happen, man. So I'm
no, you're absolutely. I don't mean to cut you off, Baba Oshi, but as you were speaking, my mind was just racing, because I've been standing on top of Burkina Faso, Nigeria,
yes,
and Chad, and they've talked early in this process of kicking France out, kicking the U.S. out, changing their money, changing their whole economic system, which is very hard to do, and because they send money to the banks in France, which this is the part that a lot of American Africans don't understand. You're jumping up and down talking about you want to go to the French Olympics, and you want to get over to Paris and see the Olympics, and all the black people do flips and run real fast for the white people. And these people still have active colonizing, are still participating in colonizing and neocolonialism in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and you say, well, why don't they tell you about that part of the history of France? No, they don't want to tell you that. They want to tell you about the French underground in World War II and how successful they were in beating Hitler. Mm-hmm. And all that type of foolishness. But let's talk about what they've done when they actually have to leave Africa, and they tear up the railroads that they built.
Mm.
They tear up everything that they did in the country. And that's evil, man.
Yeah.
That's evil.
Yeah.
And we all know that Africa needs a rail system and needs a transportation system so that people can move around freely. Because when you can't move, Baba Oshi, when you're restricted in your movement, the first thing they did in South Africa was make these people get passports to go two blocks down the street.
Exactly.
Or you got to go through a checkpoint, because they want to limit your movement. If you're more concerned with your food instability and your movement, then you don't have time for revolution. You ain't got time to fight a Rugu. You're trying to survive. But see, Burkina Faso, Niger, and Chad has realized the first thing they did was stop sending out raw materials. We're going to stop sending out raw materials.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting any more uranium. You're not getting any more whatever that you've been getting for years for damn near free.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting no more.
Right.
So no, brother, that is amazing. And when you want to, if you want to donate some money to these brothers.
Yeah.
Donate some money to their cause.
For
Stop
sure.
running around here looking at television trying to give money to these white folks have these commercials, and they pull at your heartstrings, these commercials, because they're so cunning. It's, you know, oh, you got to spend, you got to help now. And I'm like, damn, I think I'm going to give them a couple of dollars. But I never see a commercial that says we're going to Africa to help them run these colonialists out of their country and take these people off of their currency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that is a big thing, Baba Oshi. The visual, when you see, I went to Jamaica real quick and had to get some of their money, and the queen was on their money.
Yeah.
And they were saying that they were independent, and, you know, I'm like, well, why is she on your money?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy really got upset with me. He was a cab driver. He got upset with me because I was basically telling him that you're not free. If you were free, she wouldn't be on your money.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Marley be on the money.
Yeah. Or somebody else who fought for, you know, African freedom, Jamaican's freedom, whatever, for sure. You know?
But, so I had to stop and realize, Baba Oshie, it's very easy to run your mouth about some another situation, but this didn't happen overnight, Baba Oshie.
Right.
These things were centuries in the makings, and mm-hmm. this is the result of, this is the mm-hmm. hate that hate produced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you start off with a demonic theme, you're going to end up getting some foolishness like this guy. The other day, he gets shot on the stage, supposedly shot, and then he going to walk over and do his high Hitler sign.
Yeah, well, he did not. He didn't do no. Could have been, should have been, but he did the power salute, you know, like, and he's pumping his fist. And he's talking mm-hmm. about, and then whipping up the crowd and so forth. And you know, this is a damn shame. It really is. And I got a piece that I was sent that deals with that. Let me see if I can play that before we.
Go ahead, play that.
Yeah.
Let's see it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Okay.
Assassination could have been a false flag. In 2016, an attempt on Donald Trump's life during a rally was foiled. The Secret Service acted instantly, pulling Trump off the stage within seconds. Their swift action ensured his safety, demonstrating a high level of preparedness and efficiency. But in 2024, a similar situation unfolded very differently. Despite knowing about the shooter, authorities did nothing before the shot was taken. Why was there such a drastic change in response? What could explain this stark contrast? Listen to this eyewitness who claims he informed the police and Secret Service about the shooter 3 or 4 minutes before the incident.
At least 3 or 4 minutes, and he was having police in the Secret Service. We were telling the police, we were pointing at him for the Secret Service, who were looking at us from the top of the barn. They were looking at us the whole time we were standing by that tree. Binoculars.
When we slow down the footage, something even stranger appears. Trump reaches up to his ear, holding a yellow object. Moments later, after the supposed shot, he pulls his hand down, and there's no blood on his hand or fingers, but the yellow object is gone. Look at this photo. The shooter is positioned to the right of Trump. The person who was hit was actually behind and to the right, slightly closer to the shooter. How could the bullet have only skimmed Trump's ear without hitting anyone else directly behind him? It doesn't add up. If someone had been hit behind Trump, we would expect to see people in the crowd reacting and trying to help, but there's no such commotion. Even Trump himself mentioned there was substantial blood. Yet, there's no blood on his collar or past the top of his ear. How is that possible? These inconsistencies raise serious questions about the authenticity of the event. Are we witnessing a genuine assassination attempt or something more orchestrated? It's time to question the narrative and seek the truth. What really happened during these attempts on Trump's life? And who benefits the most from faking this assassination? Here's why Trump's attempt.
Yep, that's right. I tell you, man.
Wow. It's,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's not surprising because false flags and all kinds of setups like this have occurred, you know, consistently. And, you know, come September, I'll be doing the, you know, 9/11, my annual 9/11 false flag program.
You know what that was. Yeah. You know what that was, Bravo. That's already been proven and proven again. So
yeah. Well, the thing is, though, even though that is the case, what the public gets is still the same thing from the American authorities' perspective, from the 9/11 commission's perspective. Those like myself are giving you an alternative to that situation, proving that it was a false flag, proving that it was a situation as an inside job. You know, and when you look at the Pentagon specifically, I tell you, the Pentagon is, I think, just a real good case of how they manipulate that. It's hard to say with the Twin Towers, with the exception of Tower Number 7, because, you know, what they want you to submit to is that fire, you know, jumped on building number 7, and it jumped on building number 7, weakened it, and it caused the building to collapse in its own footprint, caused the building to look like it had been, you know, in a demolition, part mm-hmm. of a demolition. That falls right into it. It doesn't sway anywhere. It falls right into its footprint. And when you know the story behind the European Jew that bought and controlled the world, he had that building, number 7, already. But then he bought the towers and had them insured, you know. And then when you look at Shanksville and that field and what happened there, then when you look at the Pentagon and what happened there, you know, all in the same day. It's, I tell you, you know.
And let's be clear, Baba Oshie. If you really want to know what happened in 9/11, the blueprint is there. The map is there. Follow the money.
Yeah.
Follow. Yes. Always, even yes. in a pandemic, follow the money.
Yes.
Whose economic status changed when these so-called disasters happened? Mm-hmm. Who was making money off of all of this? And when you got to remember, when money is your God, then everything you do revolves around money. Every mm-hmm. and like the guy, if it don't make money, it don't make sense.
Yeah.
Everything revolves around money. They even teach you to worship money, or at least if you don't have money, surround yourself with things that make it look like you got money. Put on a gold chain yeah. or a big designer
well, that's
jacket
us.
Or something.
That's us. We fronting, so we look like we got.
We look rich.
Yeah.
And we buy more. I mean, and you know, Baba, people may have problems with Brother Umar Johnson, but he said some of the most profound things
yes,
out of
does.
His mouth.
Yes, he does, brother.
We have less money, but we buy, as a people in this country, buy more Mercedes-Benz than anybody else. Mm-hmm. Why are we buying so many expensive cars, yet we supposedly don't have the money? Because Arugula will let you pay on time. You can pay, mm-hmm. You can pay every 15 days. All right, pay me $5 a day for the rest of your life. It's cool. Because if you miss a payment, I'm going to come take it and sell it again to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, it's a game that they're doing, especially the game. I mean, the game is a money game. Because when I listen to you talk about 9/11, I'm trying to punch holes in it, Baba Oshie. I'm trying to, I'm not going to believe this. This can't be true. Rugu can't be this devastating, this demonic, to use human lives and just destroy them to make money. And then I look at this Trump piece, and the conspiracy theorists were out the gate. As soon as it happened, it was a fake. It was this, it was that. But somebody got killed. Somebody got killed in January 6th,
yeah.
didn't they?
Yeah.
That life doesn't mean anything.
Well, a number of people got killed. Yeah, I think 2 or 3 people, that young lady did. A number of people
yeah,
did.
Yeah, because
I think it was 3 or 4.
Someone got killed?
Mm-hmm.
You mean it wasn't a hoax? It wasn't yeah. a plan? And mm-hmm. the whole fist thing, when you are in a situation where your life is threatened, I don't see where you put your fist up and start saying, fight. Fight who? Mm. Who are you fighting? Because this is all a con game. He's trying to manipulate your mind into believing that they are coming for me. And who is they? Who? That's define the enemy. Because I know who my enemy is. I know who. They didn't hide their face when they came over and grabbed my people from Africa. They didn't hide their face when the people that didn't come. I do what they say, they chopped their arms off, and the Belgian people came and chopped their arms off when the Portuguese came and tried to enslave people. They weren't hiding their faces. But the Arugo in this country, they're doing some real slick stuff, Baba Oshie, mm-hmm. and I don't put anything past them. I truly don't. They have nothing else to do but to sit down and concoct these mind games that they play. Because I saw the black guy jump right up and tell Trump, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
How conditioned is your mind to do that to a Caucasian? But then they hide things like, oh, Kamala, I'm going to be president. Well, Kamala's married to a Jew. So her life is committed to a white man.
Yeah.
You know, she's committed to him. So whatever happens, it ain't going to be so bad because she's not going to go against what she's committed her life to. So it's just very interesting yeah. that you
that you played that, Baba Oshi. And I really want to know what our listening audience has to, what they think about it. Do they believe that this is is all happening just because of the God you serve?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to play it again after we come back from the break and then to spur this conversation and that and others. So for those who are hanging on, we have a number of people in the queue. For those who are hanging on, you know, after we come back from the break, you hit star twice and we'll let you in. So into this conversation, and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. I'm
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Family.
Fantastic piece, brother.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hang up your hang-ups.
who was that, bro?
Herbie Hancock. That's Herbie Hancock.
I was going to say Ramsey Lewis. That was Herbie Hancock.
Yeah, that was Herbie Hancock.
Was deep, bro.
Yeah, that was Man-Child album. Yeah, so.
Wow, that was deep. Wow. Anyway.
Man, all the calls we had, they all left us. I guess they'll call back, and I hope they do, and of course, we'll take those calls when they come in, or Hollywood, how it goes. But I want to play that piece again, you know? I'm going to make sure that you understand what is being discussed, what's supposed to or could be discussed. So for those who are listening out there, once again, this is a piece that you'll be hearing more about. Because, you know, on the surface, what they said on Saturday when it happened, of course, yesterday, on Sunday, all the news, everybody who had news, any kind of news, it was all focused on the assassination attempt of Donald Trump and the fact that he, you know, one of them said he was at the teleprompter and when the shot hit, it shattered the teleprompter and a piece of glass, you know, hit the tip of his right ear, and that's what made him reach for his right ear, you know, and then you see the blood from his ear, and then it comes down his face, and he's, in fact, when they grabbed him, they said his shoes came off. Give me my shoes. You hear that? Hear the tape.
His shoes came up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they get him up, and he says, wait. So he got to, you know, get his fist up, and, you know, now it becomes an iconic, quote, iconic pose of Trump, you know, with his fist in the air, and of course, the sympathy that he'll garner from this situation, you know. But a lot of times, we don't look at things deeply. We don't analyze things. We look at this, you know, we're told to deal with the surface, and then that's what you get. You know, you don't get, you know, the deeper meaning. So here's the piece. We're going to play that right now for you that is being discussed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come on now.
Trump's attempted assassination could have been a false flag. In 2016, an attempt on Donald Trump's life during a rally was foiled. The Secret Service acted instantly, pulling Trump off the stage within seconds. Their swift action ensured his safety, demonstrating a high level of preparedness and efficiency. But in 2024, a similar situation unfolded very differently. Despite knowing about the shooter, authorities did nothing before the shot was taken. Why was there such a drastic change in response? What could explain this stark contrast? Listen to this eyewitness who claims he informed the police and Secret Service about the shooter 3 or 4 minutes before the incident.
At least 3 or 4 minutes, and he was having police in the Secret Service. We were telling the police, we were pointing at him for the Secret Service, who were looking at us from the top of the barn. They were looking at us the whole time we were standing by that tree.
When we slow down the footage, something even stranger appears. Trump reaches up to his ear, holding a yellow object. Moments later, after the supposed shot, he pulls his hand down, and there's no blood on his hand or fingers, but the yellow object is gone. Look at this photo. The shooter is positioned to the right of Trump. The person who was hit was actually behind and to the right, slightly closer to the shooter. How could the bullet have only skimmed Trump's ear without hitting anyone else directly behind him? It doesn't add up. If someone had been hit behind Trump, we would expect to see people in the crowd reacting and trying to help, but there's no such commotion. Even Trump himself mentioned there was substantial blood. Yet, there's no blood on his collar or past the top of his ear. How is that possible? These inconsistencies raise serious questions about the authenticity of the event. Are we witnessing a genuine assassination attempt or something more orchestrated? It's time to question the narrative and seek the truth. What really happened during these attempts on Trump's life? And who benefits the most from faking this assassination? Here's why Trump's attempt...
Yeah, who benefits in these situations? Of course, the perpetrators do. The ones that are trying to orchestrate this, they're the ones that are going to do this. The same thing with the American government when it manipulated 9/11. And I think that's what we need to understand, that these things happen. They have happened throughout the history, you know. And so you got to look at them with an objective eye. You got to be able to analyze them and scrutinize them to get out the true meaning or the true perpetrators, you know, because if you just believe in the government's position or believe in somebody else's position, you know, you're going to be a fool. You're going to be tricked. You know, and that stuff is going to continue to happen. So, you know, and
no, you're right. I'm also going to cut you off. You're absolutely correct. But what Arugu tends to do nonstop and wants you to imitate him is we have to find blame. We have to blame somebody for this. It can't be the shooter's fault. It can't be Trump's venomous message. It can't be that. It has to be the Secret Service is trying to kill him. The FBI is trying to kill him. 2025 says they're going to abolish the FBI. So, and he's already said it. Bob Oshie, I want you to look at that film again, and you can pull it up on YouTube. When the initial shots rang out and Trump goes to the ground, when the Secret Service gets there and picks him up, they grab him. He says, "I want my shoe." And then he realizes this his time. It's his time. It's time. It's him. Time for him to make a photo op. So he does the whole fist thing. Then he hits it down twice. Mm-hmm. I watched
right.
it.
Yeah.
And then he raises his hand in a, as if he was doing a Hitler salute. I am so not lying. You have somebody pointed it out to me. And he does his hand like that, like he's doing that whole Hitler salute thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pulls it back. And then he does the fist thing again. It's clear as day.
Okay.
And I'm, and this is the same guy that told his alt-right people to stand by. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He's giving encrypted messages to these people. Stand by. Stand down, stand by, or some foolishness.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't say go home. He wouldn't say just go home. This ain't, you don't want to come here and do this on January 6th. So I believe Trump is playing to his base. He believes he has enough people to get him over the hump, and he doesn't have to get new people. Because, see, this is not going – I don't think this is going to bring new folk to him, because the same people that he's pandering to are the same people he's taking their EBT cards from, the same people he's taking their Section 8 housing from.
Right. Well, he's
the same people that are living in –
Right, he's solidifying his base, because to them there's not a damn. I mean, just like we said earlier, you know, they're asking Biden to quit. They're asking Biden. He's got a flab here and there, and he even called Vice President Trump when he meant Kamala Harris. You know, so but the bottom line is that nobody's asked Trump to resign. He's a convicted felon. Okay. He has done all kinds of shit. I wish I could pull that, what's it called, up? Rachel Maddow piece up, you know, where she's saying,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good piece, man. I wish I could pull that one up.
Well, once white folks, because Rachel Maddow is a homosexual, and she's going to live and die. She's going to fall on that sword right there because she can't help it. And so Trump is completely against the homosexual whole thing. So she's not going to have nothing. She needs Trump for absolutely nothing. So whatever she can find to go against Trump, she's going to get. But the thing about Trump is you don't have to look for anything because Trump's not hiding anything. Mm-hmm. That's the difference in Trump and Biden. Mm-hmm. Biden is acting as if he's everybody's friend and I've evolved into this great guy. And Trump is saying, I'm not a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
I am who I am. I don't like these people. I don't like poor people. I don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
But I love you. And this is the confusion. And believe it or not, Bob Oshie, some people fall for this foolishness.
Yeah.
Some people well, you know, he's a good businessman. Wait a minute. He's got 34 felonies.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? They see what they want to see. And because they don't want you to talk about the felonies, so now we're talking about the assassination.
Mm-hmm.
The train is being driven to the stations that they wanted to go just before the convention. And the convention is going to be a cesspool of foolishness. I'm telling you, they're going to get up on that stage and they're going to say make some of the most ignorant statements. And then you're going to see these black people, so-called black people, trying to buy to be vice president. Mm-hmm. I love you, Trump. I love you, President Trump. And he wouldn't even let you in his golf club.
Yeah.
And you got money.
Well, what's going to happen, I believe, is you're right. But the rhetoric will be toned down based upon what happened. So it won't be that the attack on Biden and Biden's government will be as severe as it would have been had it not happened, because they've been doing that. They got plenty of commercials. He's the worst president in the history of presidents, you know, and they're saying the same thing about Trump. So, you know, all those things, they're not going to do that. That's not going to happen, you know, because of the situation that just transpired this past weekend, you know. But they're still going to find ways to vilify each other, man, and demonize each other. But the person who should be demonized is Trump. Trump is the one, man. But nobody said a damn thing about, you know, because had Biden not made those severe errors in the debate, then the discussion should have been about Trump, his habitual lying, and all the other stuff that has, you know, comes with it. Yeah.
No, they steer you away from that mm-hmm. type of conversation because we don't want to talk about Trump's shortcomings.
Right.
Because in their mind, he doesn't have any.
Right. Because apparently not, because all the things that he's done, he has a serious core of loyal followers. And just as they said, no, that's not going to make me change my mind. That's not going to make me change not to vote for him and support him, no, and give him money. No. All these things, I mean, there's a laundry list of things, and they still haven't dealt with the other indictments.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He had 90 some indictments and you know, but they found him guilty in that situation in New York on all counts,
right.
You know,
and
to me, you know, I don't know why these legislators haven't said, listen, we know coming in the election he won in 2016. One of the issues that was problematic was his tax returns. And he couldn't show them because of this, that, and the other. So now let's make a law that if you run for president, you have to show 3 years of your tax returns. Let that go through Congress. Let that go through the Senate. Let that become law. So therefore, somebody like Donald Trump can't stonewall him constantly and say, well, no, it's not. I'll do it after this, that, and that. No, you got to show it upon submitting your papers to run for president or to run for office. And they still haven't done it. He still hasn't shown his tax returns. This is a very criminal-minded individual. And yet, all of these people, you know, let me give... Brother Paul, good afternoon.
Brother Paul.
Good afternoon, Brother Ochi, and good afternoon to you, Brother Irv.
Yes.
You're running the tag team today.
Yes, so, right. That's right, brother.
We're tagging you in, Paul. We're tagging you in.
Okay. I'm getting in the right start ready because I know you're not easy, Brother Irv. You're not easy, man. You know, but yeah, you know, I Baba Ochi, I'm glad you raised this topic and in the way you've raised it, and it is interesting because when I saw the video clip after it happened, some thoughts went through my mind. And I think soon after it, you start to think and analyze the situation. And the part you played, other than the part where he says about the yellow thing in his hand, I mean, I didn't see that and I didn't know, but I didn't have. But I was wondering about, because they showed on the BBC, they showed this image, right,
mm-hmm.
of the bullet going past his head, yeah? Which I found a bit strange, right? Because it escapes my mind. There's a particular name when they analyze bullets and stuff. What do they call it when they analyze bullets and they give it a particular name? I can't remember. It goes off my head. But the bottom
ballistics.
Line is ballistics. Thank you. Ballistics. Exactly. Ballistics. I'm no expert at that, and I don't really know that much about it, but I do observe things. You know, sometimes you get familiar with these type of programs and stuff, and anytime they deal with, well, even when they're dealing with criminals over here and they're talking about ballistics, yeah, they always talk about the speed of the camera, and they always talk about what kind of like frame shooting you would have to do, how, and it's always a specialist thing. You know what I mean? They have to take the shots and give it to a specialist. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And then what I found a bit strange is that they showed this bullet traveling. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking in my head, most of the things I've ever seen dealing with ballistics, don't they have to take it to some sort of specialist? He has to do something with the camera. He has to do all kinds of things with the camera to make to actually get the shot. But yet, all of a sudden, you've got this shot. So who filmed that? That's the first thing that occurred to me. Going past his head. And then I'm thinking, if it went past his head, right? I'm watching the people in the crowd, just like the guy said. That exactly what he said occurred to me. So that means I'm on the right path. Because I thought, well, surely someone in the crowd, right, would he? It went past his head. But how come no one in the crowd heard it or even looked in that direction? Nobody in that crowd behind him looked in that direction where that bullet was supposed to have been captured going past his head. And I found that very strange. And I'm not a ballistic expert, but to me, that makes sense. In actual fact, even before the bullets rang out, he kind of looked in that direction, which was also strange for me because I was wondering what caught his attention to look in that direction. That was before any sound of any bullet.
Okay.
And then your guy said, he put something to his head. So that tells, because I actually wondered that. I said, why is he looking in that direction? Yeah. And then your guy says he put something to his head. Well, that to me seems to fit into the puzzle. Well, if you're preempting something, yeah, you do look in that direction, right? And then you do put something to your head. I didn't see that, but that's what your guy says, right? It makes sense to me. So, and then you got a witness. What they showed on BBC, you had a witness, yeah? Now, I don't know if he was a real witness or he was part of the whole program. I don't know. But I at first I thought, well, he must be genuine. He said that they could see him climbing on the roof. So I'm thinking, where was he to see this man climbing on the roof? Yeah? Where was he? Right? And he said that he was telling the police. And not only that was he telling the police, he said that the police acknowledged him. They didn't just ignore him. They said, yeah. But he said that they were acting in a way as if that they were nonchalant, is the word, nonchalant. They were just being obstructive. Like, I'm pointing something to you saying, look, there's a man on the roof with a rifle, and you're going, oh, what are we talking about? What are you talking about? Now, that to me is very, very strange. Because surely, even if Trump wasn't there, yeah, and the police in their training are trained to be suspicious. Part of their training is to be suspicious of anything.
Of everything, yes.
Yeah, that is in their training. So are you really reasonably telling me that you're telling them there's a man with a rifle on the roof, right? And they're pretending. I can only say they're pretending that they don't really understand what you're saying, like you're speaking a foreign language. Now, that to me was very odd when I saw that, you know. So, you know, it's a profound piece. But it doesn't surprise me, Baba Ochi, because the reality of it, as you so rightfully put it, yeah, as you say 9-11, you talk about 9-11, and I guess for those who don't really look into things or who don't really analyze things, just go along to get along, they probably think you're talking nonsense, yeah? You're probably going along with the notorious three-letter agency beginning with C and ending in A. They probably think that, you know, you're perpetuating their statement. I mean, they coined the term conspiracy theories, by the way. In 1967, I think it was, or 65, they put out that term. And as I understand it, they put it out there to stop people looking into the assassination of Kennedy, okay? Mm. Now, the reality of it is when I saw that 9-11, I was shocked like everybody else. In actual fact, they call the whole thing shock and awe. That's what they call it. And I was definitely shocked and I was definitely in awe because I was like, wow. So the bottom line is when that's all rubbed off and you get a chance to look at it and analyze it and think about it and go over it, you then realize that buildings can't fall like that. No building in history has fallen like that. So then you realize some sort of controlled demolition was used. Then you wonder, how the hell can they get controlled demolition in a building? Not only that, how can a building eat up a plane? I mean, where has that ever happened in history? It's never happened. No plane, no building has eaten a plane. When I say eating a plane, an airliner cannot go into a building and disappear. It just can't. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. Right. It, you know, they want to say, oh, it was melted. The fuel, airline fuel, like petrol, burns so rapidly. In order to melt
aluminium or even steel, you have to give it a, something else. You have to add something else
right,
to
and
it.
Accelerate to sustain
the pain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So where did the pain go? And then after that, why did they ship off all the evidence to Japan or China? Why? Why did they do that? Surely if they really believed that some Arabs came from Saudi Arabia and done that, surely they would keep all the materials and investigate it because they have all the people to do that. But they didn't. They shipped it all off. So straight away that raises suspicion. The bottom line is Hollywood. Hollywood just comes to mind. Hollywood is one of the biggest acting and film agencies, and it's in your heartland. It's that's what you perpetuate around the world, Hollywood. And that's what it reminds me of. It just reminds me of a Hollywood sketch. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak.
All right, Brother Paul. Mama Nubuntu.
Mama Nubuntu.
How are you?
Hello, Bantu.
I'm good, everybody. How's everybody?
We're doing well.
Good.
Yeah, been pretty busy. You know, the president of New Black Wall Street made his transition and had a big funeral for him
right.
this past weekend.
When was it? This past weekend?
It was on Saturday. They had about 1,500 people that showed up at the funeral. And they had to repass at the New Black Wall Street ballroom. And then yesterday, Baba Yaga, that we all know locally here, they had a big memorial for him at Omanala Museum. So it was a pretty busy weekend. And we had a Pan-African, well, we scheduled a Pan-African Fellows local meeting this past Saturday evening. And Dr. Sanyika and I were only ones there. And we are suggesting that that group start with a study session. Those who've been active with Sam Collins, who is the youth commissioner out of D.C. for the Northern America Pan-African Fellows Movement. And these study sessions is really going to help us to understand what we really mean about federalism, what do we mean about what are the strategies that's been implemented or planning for the United African States. So there's a six-week class and it's also 18-week class depending on people's eligibility. So I'm going to send you, Brother Oshi, I think Sam is going to send the link out because I have you on the list of some of the most active folks.
And when is it going to start this program?
Tonight at 7.
Oh, it starts tonight. Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and if anybody else is interested, it doesn't have to be just here in Atlanta. We can, if I had emails, I can send it out to other folks who may be interested in learning more about the whole movement, the strategy, and the campaign for the PAFM.
Okay. All right.
Baba Oshi, send them my email, please. I want to get that information.
Okay.
And learn more about the Federalist Movement because it every time I hear her talk about it, it's always in a positive vein, and it's always about bringing people together. And when you said something about learning more about it with a study group, that's because the Federalist Movement, as a lot of movements are, it's fluid. It's a living thought. It's something that changes, and because Urugu keeps trying to change, but yet he stays the same. But we, as in the movements, we have to understand what time we're living in and what we need to do to defend ourselves and to move forward in our organization. Please.
Exactly. And that's the purpose, because we all want to be using the same language when we talk about where we're going. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Also to the Collard Green Festival.
Of course. That's going to happen September 28th, so, you know, get your tickets and get ready.
Where's it going to be in the same place?
I think, we're working on it. You know, I think I told you the land's been probate since the one of the owners, the elder, made his transition, but the grandson is moving it forward regardless.
Okay. That was a nice venue. That was a nice venue. It was set up very nice. So, yeah. All right, Mama Nubuntu.
Okay, all right.
Just hang on. All right, dear.
All right.
All right. And we got a caller here. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, caller.
Yeah, I'd just like to know why you and Mr. Lewis is out there sending people to do a job when they're not equipped to do the job. You know, a bullseye is a very, very serious thing that you can't play with, man. You know, when you hunt the rabbit, you got to catch the rabbit. You can't let the rabbit get loose. Because once the rabbit get loose, he just going to go into hiding, and you ain't never going to be able to get that rabbit. And it seems like that's what we heading for. The rabbit ain't never going to be caught, and in the process, the rabbit is going to destroy your garden. Because that's what's coming. Okay. The rabbit's going to destroy the garden.
Okay.
And we as black people don't even really realize that the garden is about to be destroyed. I was listening to a person last night on the show talking about they ain't concerned about Project 2025. Now, I just want to inform this low-wage worker, because from my understanding, he's a home attendant, if I'm not mistaken. And I know home attendants don't make no money. And I would just like to point out to him that Project 2025 is going to make it to where as you can't do no more overtime and get paid for it. Then also, they was talking about, you know, they take care and they help their mother.
Well, let me
now, I don't know if any of y'all noticed that once you get 100 years old, you no longer can get, I think, Medicaid in this country. I don't think people know that, you know? But part of 2025 is they going to be cutting people's benefits.
So if I reach, Jay. So here I am. I've worked my life, and maybe I even worked beyond 60 something. Maybe I worked beyond 70, and yet I'm living a good life, a long life. And so you're saying to me, once I reach 100, and Social Security is what I earned. It's what I've earned. So you're saying that the government is going to cut that off.
And no, so, I think no. What happens is they don't cut Medicare, from what I understand, but they cut Medicaid. And you know, mm-hmm. most people need Medicaid,
right?
When they got to go into a nursing home because
right.
of the cost.
Because of the cost.
Now,
yes.
You know, Oshie, I'm gonna say this to you. My mother right now is in a nursing home, and you know she retired. Got a pension, got Social Security, and all that. Do you know the crackers taking it all from
They're taking it all. That's what happened.
And they
can
do it. I'm sorry to say this.
Yep.
And I want all of y'all out there to listen and understand this.
Yes.
If you don't get your business in order and go to an attorney and set things up so that if God
right.
unfortunately, you
right.
get in that position, they're gonna take all your money. Okay?
Yep.
They're gonna do it. That's
yep.
the way
they're
gonna
take your pension. They'll take Social Security, take all of that.
If you go to an attorney, you set yourself up properly, then they can't get it.
Right.
And unfortunately,
put that in the trust.
Black people don't handle their business in this manner. Because they don't talk about it.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And they don't have the assets to do it.
Yep.
Fortunately, I was schooled because, number one, I witnessed it happen to my grandmother. I witnessed it happen to others. And I got a good Jew lawyer. And the good Jew lawyer.
Okay, Jay.
Hey, listen. Ain't no black lawyer told me this. Ain't no black lawyer sat down for me for free and helped me set my family up.
Well, it's not like he didn't know, right? It's not like the brother didn't know.
There you go. But yeah.
Well, listen, let me take some other callers, Jay, because I'm running out of time.
Okay. All right.
All right, bro. Brother Marcus, how you doing?
Greetings, Brother Oshie.
Greetings.
Brother Marcus.
Yes, indeed, brother. So it look like the chickens come home to roost, my brother.
I'm gonna have to suspend you, Brother Marcus, for that statement. I'm gonna have to suspend
you. Yeah. Hey, he's getting ready to jump off, you know. Sparks gonna fly. They're talking about toning down the rhetoric. What happened? That's going to set it off. I'm telling you, ain't no turning back now. Ain't no turning back, you know what I'm saying? So, and just to piggyback on what Brother Paul said from across the pond, you know what is also at the Pentagon, when they said a plane hit, ain't no fuselage, ain't nothing there from the pay, ain't nothing from a plane there. What the hell, if a plane hit a building, ain't supposed to be some remnants of the plane there? Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing. And you said, Brother Oshi, the part of the building that got hit is where all they was missing. I said, Groundspeller said the day before that they was missing how many
billions of dollars.
Billions of dollars.
They had a press conference in that area. Donald Rumsfeld talking about the money that is allocated to the Pentagon that was missing. That was that Monday. That was that Monday. Then the next day, a missile. You can save all you want to, but that's what hit that Pentagon was a missile. Because to me, I can't. You can't make me believe that a plane, a passenger plane, that was commandeered and hijacked by some Saudi Arabians were flying so fast and so low in the D.C., Arlington, Washington area that it missed all of the poles and wires and this, that, and the other and hit the – and before it hit the Pentagon, the nose – it was like a big bright light. And that's all you see. If you go to 9/11, you go to the Pentagon, all you see is a big bright light. And then you see the destruction. But you don't see no imprint for the wings. You don't see no tail. You don't see no fuselage. You don't see none of that. You see a big hole inside of the Pentagon. I mean, damn, this is a deep insult of intelligence, man. It's terrible. But yet people believe it. But yeah, man.
Hey, Brother Oshie.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'll leave
yes,
you with
sir,
this.
Brother Marcus.
When Marcus Garvey said, he said, when the elephants fight,
that's right.
The grass gets trampled.
That's right.
From the elephants getting ready to fight.
Okay, brother.
Yeah, I'll mute my phone and continue listening. Good
Thank
brother.
You, my brother.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Marcus.
Thank Peace you, Brother Marcus.
All right.
Yeah,
he always brings the truth, man. He brings the truth. And Baba Oshi, you notice how slow he talks.
Yeah.
And every word penetrates because Brother Marcus, seems like he's not trying to gain friends. He's not trying to be super Mr. Popular. He's just trying to say the truth as he sees it.
Right.
And by God, man, he brought up some excellent points. Robert Ocean, he really did. Amazing. You have someone else on the line?
No.
In the queue?
Well, good. Still holding you guys. All you got to do is hit star twice, as you know, and you can get in. So we got some people on the line.
We'll listen to you.
Okay.
But the point, when I hear brothers say things like, I'm going to get me a good Jew lawyer, and I'm going to, and we've got to, they're going to not let you work any more overtime. I believe our mindset has to change to not say they're not going to let me work overtime,
why don't we say they're not going to let me start my own business? See, we have to get out of the mindset that that white people are going to do it for us. They're, and even though they are good at what they're doing, it seems to be working for them. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. It keeps us in a limited. The mind is what this is after. Hollywood doesn't give a damn about entertainment. It's about education. I need you to think a certain way. I need you to love. Hollywood is so slick in their media. You can watch a movie and be cheering for the guy who's killing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
How do they do that? Because killing is wrong. Oh, not in Hollywood. They can make you cheer for him.
Sure.
And how they do that. So they can make you, just like they're making people cheer for Donald Trump, someone who's taking their rights from them, taking their benefits, right. Taking their EBT cards, and they're cheering for this guy.
Yeah.
See, and that's the manipulation of the mind. It's not about your money. It's not about anything but power. This is about a power concept. If I have power over your mind, I control your whole being. I control what you're going to do tomorrow.
That's right.
If I have the power over your mind, I don't have to put you in a cage.
Mm-mm.
You enslave yourselves. Like right. You said, I believe that we are more enslaved today than we were then.
Yeah.
Because of alcohol.
Most definitely. Most definitely. All the vices that are, all the things that are out there that capture us physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, you know, it's there. And mm-hmm. our problem is that we can't use our minds to exercise ourselves from it. You know, we
don't have the tools. You don't have the skill set when you're still running around here talking about, you know, I want to work some overtime. Well, I got to get somebody else to give me a job. Nobody has to give you a job. They gave you a job. And we got jobs in slavery. And how far did that get you?
Mm-hmm.
We want to own. We don't want to be in the major leagues. We want to own the major leagues. We had our own baseball league. But now all of a sudden we want to play with the white boys. We had our own schools. But no, we got to go to school and sit next to white people because we pay for them schools. Hmm. Really? Really? PhDs came out of one-room schoolhouses. Now you got a building and a school that looks like a university, and they're teaching the black children. Don't even go to school. You don't need no school. I'm a millionaire, and I ain't even got a high school diploma. Who are you telling this to?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? It's not about making money. It's about being well-rounded and being able to rationalize, to know when someone is coming for you and your people. This is not about me, Baba Oshi. I need us to say more we and less I. When I hear the word I start to believe that are you for the struggle or are you for yourself?
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, you're going to die, bro. And I am too. We're going to expire. And what did we leave? Marcus Garvey left a legacy of books. Dr. Henry Clark left a legacy of books, messages. Our ancestors in Egypt left, they wrote in stone.
Mm-hmm.
They left something for us to use to put ourselves up out of the situation that they knew we were going to be in. Because we, as a people, refuse to leave the house of our oppressor. So we're going to change it if it kills us. And damn it, it's killed
us,
Baba.
It's going to kill us, man. Yes, it is.
Us.
It's going to kill us.
It's we're dying on all fronts. We're Baba Oshi, real quick, and I'm going to stop after this. I saw a documentary yesterday because I'm reading a book about Marcus Garvey.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw a documentary. And the name of this show, Baba Kwaku, can be clarity. Because the name, and why I say that, because the things are so confusing now. And with this whole Donald Trump thing, it even confuses it anymore. But I saw a documentary where when you go to the store, they put a tax on your potato chips and your soda. You know, you buy soda, you have to pay an extra tax for soda. And I would say, well, why are they charging people so much for soda? Why? And why am I keep seeing these soda commercials every time I look at television? I'm seeing the soda and the cereal commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Baba Oshi, there is an industry that is pushing sugar down your throat 110 miles an hour. Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think something like
addictive.
Sugar would be healthy.
No,
Baba Oshi,
man, it's very addictive. It's the wrong
it is the
thing.
Most
diabetes, you name it. Sugar.
Your childhood diabetes.
Yeah.
Childhood. So what they're doing is the diversion comes.
I got y'all talking about Trump, and as I send these Frito-Lay tater chips over there with that Domino's pizza, and mm-hmm. I'm still killing you. I'm killing you, you Africans, at every move you make. I'm going to kill you in your soda, in your beer, in your chips, in your. If it's on a shelf, it's not living, Baba Oshi.
Mm-hmm.
How can you keep food on a shelf? It's dead. You're eating oil products. And Baba Oshi, what we eat, Big Jay, you don't have to worry about getting to 100 years old, because the average American African ain't going to make it that far. It's designed for you not to make it that far. They're coming for your children. If you're not reproducing with the terminology reproductive rights, how is abortion reproductive? So that's a misnomer in itself. But so if they're killing your babies and they're feeding you sugar, and then they're going to make weed legal so you can be high while you're doing it.
So, oh, yeah, because once you get high for weed, your ass wants some more sugar. You want some more chips. You can eat a whole damn bag. High fructose corn syrup.
Yeah. Yes, sir. But weed and aspartame. I sure like that Pepsi. But the thing is, we're sitting here talking about Donald Trump. You have no control over what's going on with Donald Trump. But you do control what goes in your body, in your temple.
Mm-hmm.
You do control. You don't live to eat. You eat to live.
Mm.
You know, but Baba Oshi, if I got to have a cane and a walker every time I get up to go somewhere, I don't want to go nowhere. If it doesn't kill you, it makes you sick.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, we have to stop letting them drive us to. I give a damn about Donald Trump. All that Donald Trump, we don't even look at the teleprompter. All this is staged, as far as I'm concerned. It's staged to the point where they're trying to control your mind and make you think a certain way.
Yeah.
But this guy's a felon. Yeah, I'm not voting for a felon. If I did vote, I'm not voting for a felon.
I mean, let's be real. There's stuff that goes all the way back with this man and all the way up to this point of wrongdoing, of illegalities, of the whole nine yards. It's ridiculous. It's sickening. Brother Paul, you got a comment?
Brother Paul.
Yeah.
You're so right, brother Irv. Everything you said is so right, man. But you say you're not voting for a felon, brother. Can I just remind you, your whole country was created in felony, my brother. You understand?
That's right. This was a penal colony.
You're not voting for a felon, Baba Ochi. But the country was formed in robbery, theft, rape, murder, torture, overthrow, kill, poison. That's how it was formed.
Yep.
But why aren't you voting for a felon? You earn all your money from felonies. All of them are criminals, brother.
Yes.
Every single one of them are murderers, pedophiles, and rapists. That's how it goes, brother.
Yeah.
And you have been bought and sold and integrated into it, brother. That's the reality of it. Now, you may want to dispute me. You may want to say that Englishman from over across the sea is mad as a hatter. But the reality of it is, that is the truth. So when I hear you don't want to vote for a felon, you are totally up to your neck and over in felony. Right now, they go around the world robbing it, stealing from it, conning it, tricking it, murdering African presidents so that you can have a home. That's what they do.
Yeah.
That's the reality of it.
This is
the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
And it all stems from here. They all collate together and plan it. So we are all the beneficiaries of robbery, theft, murder, kill, rape, pedophilia, and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
You know, you got a guy over there called Dr. Jerome Fox, and he wrote a book called
Addicted to White. Hold on, brother Irv. Go ahead. Give the title,
Go ahead, Paul.
In a shame-based alliance, right? Now,
yes. I love that. Shame-based alliance, man.
I think we got to accept something here. One thing, the last thing I'm going to say, and no one can dispute this. If you're an addict, if you accept that you're an addict, I'm addicted to white. The first thing you've got to do, you've got to admit it. You've got to come to terms with it. Because if you don't come to terms with it, that means you're in denial. And I'm telling you, majority of us are in denial. Take it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cognitive dissonance.
Right. That's right. Cognitive dissonance, man. You know, I know they suffer from it, but we suffer from it too. You know, because of what they have, you know, imposed upon us, that we think that we are inferior. Anytime you have, to even to this very day, brothers and sisters doing all these things to themselves, to their appearance, to their skin, to their hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, very few sisters wear their natural hair, especially right. The young ones. You know, mm-hmm. They have much weave. You know, they're so weavable, it's ridiculous. You know,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, some be weavable. It is ridiculous, man. You know, but yeah, we're running out of time, Brother Irv.
Yeah,
man,
yeah,
gosh, the time flies when you're having fun.
It's blue, man.
Yeah,
it's
you know,
blue. It always flies when you're having fun, and this has been an amazing 2 hours of chopping it up about what's going on right now. And Baba Oshi, this show is making a difference. I truly believe that. People may not call in, but people hear when you're on this worldwide web, and they hear the revolutionary thought in every word that you say. They hear the self-determination in every word that you say. And so I believe that we are winning. I'm always optimistic.
I am too, Brother Irvin. Although this program, and sometimes I say what I say, and it appears that I'm bringing all these bad points, but the bottom line is you need to know so then you can feel good about your situation. You can feel positive in knowing that you can overcome all of this madness and be an independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign people. You need to know that.
I should.
Mm-hmm.
I should.
Yeah.
I say no, that is fantastic. I love the callers, and I want to thank them for calling, everyone who called, and I appreciate them expressing what they said and with the passion that they did it with,
mm-hmm.
because I don't think people just get on here to toot their horn. I think they get on here to enlighten people as to how they see things through the lens that they see through. We see through a revolutionary lens. I see through an African lens. I think. Mm-hmm. The African way is the only way. I put Africa first, and I want others to do that also. And also, mm-hmm. I push back on individualism. I push back on materialism.
Yes.
I'm not necessarily a minimalist, but I'm closer to that. I don't need 13 pairs of shoes. I don't need 4,000 European suits. I can't wear all of it at the same time. I don't need all that. What I do need is for my people to rise up. As Marcus, I'm telling you, I'm reading Marcus Garvey, so I keep quoting the "Rise up, you mighty race."
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. I believe we have to rise up, and we're doing it. We're doing it slowly but surely. But it's going to hurt, and it's going to be a sacrifice. And we're willing to make the sacrifice for our children, children's children.
I say, Brother Kwaku, how you doing, man?
Brother Kwaku.
Yeah, man. How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Hey, Kwaku. Great, cool. The FBI came by and asked me, where was you at the other day when Trump got shot?
Well, you know, I told them, you know, they had to go visit you because, you know, I was just at your house, you know, so.
Okay.
We was on our way, but we was late for the rally. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, look, man, you know, it was a good program, man, so you you gotta just keep doing what you're doing, bro.
Right on, bro.
Yes, sir. Yeah, go ahead.
Appreciate
it.
All right, families.
It's
that time. We're gonna sign off. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahardier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed day. Hope to see you on Wednesday. Peace.